Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for episode 42 of Pepperdine People. I'm Craig Detweiler, Director of the Center for Entertainment, Media, and Culture. And I'm joined today by Joseph Sargent, our first distinguished filmmaker in residence at Pepperdine University. Joe, welcome to the program.
Well, I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. As a matter of fact, I've already told you that many times in the past couple of months.
Well, Joe, you began as an actor studying at the legendary Actors Studio in New York, and you directed these seminal TV series like Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Man from U.N.C.L.E., even Star Trek. Your first Emmy was for directing the pilot episode of Kojak, the Marcus Nelson murders. What does it take to be a director? What are the essential skills necessary?
Well, aside from that being a very good and cogent question, it's a very complicated one in that it would take hopefully a combination of a lot of things, not the least of which, of course, is a familiarity with the other crafts involved in filmmaking. So the more you know, for instance, about the agonies, the pain, and the happiness that an actor goes through to develop his craft, and the more you know of all of those horrible as well as joyful moments that a writer goes through when he sits and stares at his blank page, and the more you know about the life of the story and the characters that you're going to portray on the screen, the better director you are.
Well, I know you've directed Emmy-winning performances of Vanessa Redgrave and Jane Alexander in Playing for Time, Amanda Plummer in Miss Rose White, Alfre Woodard in Miss Evers' Boys. How do you coax an Emmy-winning performance out of somebody? What does that directing involve?
Well, first and foremost, having been an actor, having gone through those agonies I mentioned before, I'm well prepared to understand and have compassion for what they're going through in terms of their own insecurities. And every actor has insecurities, and that includes every star, no matter what the magnitude, what the stature. Every major celebrity star you can think of is equally as scared and as insecure as the beginning actor. Because basically what they're insecure about is that they will not have the environment that can be provided them to be able to develop the necessary relationship with their character that that they would like. And can I fulfill the specifics of that character is what makes them rather insecure and what makes them tentative and what makes them arrogant sometimes in a self-defense kind of way. And the more compassion you have for that kind of that part of their craft, the more you can reach them and the more you can help set up the environment for them to have the freedom to search and make that character their own.
Well, I know you've directed legendary actors like Walter Matthau, Robert Shaw in the original taking of Pelham 123, Gregory Peck in MacArthur. So you've worked both with the big screen as well as the small screen with film and with TV. And there's always been this sort of maybe historic gap between the mediums. Does that really still apply, do you think?
Start gaps between
film and television, between the big screen and the small screen.
That gap has been basically promulgated by misconception and bad marketing, frankly. Having had both feet in both mediums, I can tell you there's absolutely no difference. We use the same cameras, the same crews, the same actors in many cases. In few cases, the same material, and I say that disparagingly of the theatrical features, because the reason I stayed with the long form, as it's called, or the feature for television, is because I got much more substantive and much more meaningful material in television than I ever got as a feature director. There, you know, I was not quite up on the top of the food chain in theatrical features, but I was in television. So I got the better scripts in television than I did in features.
Which is amazing. And I mean, you were winning awards and Emmys up into your 70s with things like Something the Lord Made and Warm Springs, two HBO projects. And here you've now, in landing at Pepperdine University, you're seeing a new generation of young people. You've been to some events. You've seen some films. How would you assess the talent that you find on the Pepperdine campus so far?
One of the things that amazed me about the discoveries I've made here on campus is a degree of brightness and talent and commitment. And commitment is quite a chunk to have, especially in the so-called me generation, which this is becoming less and less of, by the way, much to all of our all of our surprise and gratification. But there is so much so, by the way, the drive that exists that I've been feeling, the vitality that's come through in the productions I've seen, in the DVDs that I've run of those productions of previous years and the recent ones, that kind of fire in the belly says that basically the student here at Pepperdine wants very much to learn, wants very much to dedicate themselves to the craft and the art that they feel that fire in the belly about. And it's very heartening to see that. Certainly, it must be heartening to each of the instructors because the instructors are probably very responsible for encouraging the fire in the belly. Mm-hmm. And that fire is burning right now rather vividly.
Well, that's great to hear. I know you've met film majors, film studies majors. You've, I think, talked to screenwriting students in our new MFA in screenwriting. You've dealt with theater classes and theater majors, acting students. What do they each maybe bring to the table, and maybe what do they each need to learn from each other?
Well, the thing about what I hoped to establish here, and one that we've talked about in much more specific terms, Craig, is how do we bring those disciplines together, and why do we want to? Why is it necessary to bring the writer, the director, the actor, the production designer, certainly the cinematographer, the costumer, the costume designer, etc.? Why is it necessary? It's very necessary because basically, and this should not come as news to anyone, we are a collaborative art. And the more that collaboration is encouraged and the more we practice that collaboration, the better our work, the better the final product. And that's hopefully what I would like to see develop more on top of the vitality that I was talking about that already exists here and on top of the excellent instruction that obviously the students are getting in their classes now. And I know we'd like to call it sort of a workshop with a title like The Big Picture, because The Big Picture really underscores what I have lived through for the past 50 years as a director, and I choke when I say that.
you're the youngest 80-year-old I know, my friend. So.
Oh, to be 80 again. But at any rate, and by the way, one of those Emmys, I was still in my 80s.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The way I finally learned how to encourage collaborative relationships with each of the different members of the team is to suddenly discover that each of those disciplines has the same basic goal. And before you jump to the possibility that that goal is to make the film, of course, that is the ultimate. But the thing that surprised me, and this was after many years of directing, was that the writer has to do exactly the same thing that the actor has to do and that the director ultimately has to do, because he shares the added burden of being in both places. The writers, he has to take on the writer's comprehension of and theme of what he was writing, as well as steer the actor into the proper interpretation of the role, etc. But what do they all want? Ultimately, we talk about the actor wanting to make the character's needs his own. The actor has to make that character, and all of the fear, all of the happiness, all of the terrors, all of the conflicts and inner conflicts, whatever, that belong to that character, which starts out, after all, being a total stranger, has to make it his own. Well, so does the writer. In order to write beautiful characters, fully dimensional, and I say fully dimensional, he has to know something about those characters. He just can't start on page one and say, hey, wouldn't it be interesting if this guy walked into a grocery store and pulled a gun and shot the man? Well, okay, it's a nice opening. Now let's find out why he did that. The why he did that is a bit of history, and the history is knowing more about what that character is all about. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the director. The director has to make the material that he's been given his own, and so does the writer, because the writer is creating that material. He has to make it his own.
Well, what I hear you talking about, I think, is the sort of the act of empathy, the act of compassion, learning to kind of stand in another person's shoes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important really in any academic discipline, is sort of understanding history from what it would have been like to be there, what it's like, you know, in sociology to have grown up maybe in that culture or that community. And really those same empathetic gifts extend over into the arts.
Absolutely.
One final question here. You know, a lot of times that maybe Pepperdine might have been intimidated by USC, UCLA, maybe larger schools that have a longer history. Maybe AFI has been, you know, training students in film and television for a long time. Why is this maybe a good moment for Pepperdine to enter into this arena and sort of upgrade our relationship with our neighbors here in Malibu and really pursue entertainment?
I think Pepperdine has the best advantage of any learning institution in the country right now, simply because they have not already locked into a film program like UCLA and SC and all of the existing schools that are turning out semi-prepared people. Having been at several of those places as head of the department in one case and as a teacher with several classes, I can tell you that the departments are still separated, still not really reaching out for each other in a collaborative sense, and still not achieving the ultimate in what filmmaking storytelling experience is all about. And because of that, the setting up of a master program in that direction, so that whatever added disciplines are achieved between now and the future can all be brought together in, say, this workshop environment that we'll call for the big picture, so that we can add additional tools to the ones that are already being learned very well in the class environment, and then we can develop the dynamics of the full collaborative relationship that's necessary in the making of a motion picture.
Fabulous. Well, I'm so excited that you are here at Pepperdine as both a neighbor and as a collaborator. You know, your film's having won Golden Globes and Humanitas Prizes, Writers Guild Awards. You have enabled pros like Sidney Poitier and Michael Caine and Glenn Close to rise to the top of their game. And I'm just thrilled that you're offering that kind of expertise to our students at the beginning of their game, in a sense.
Well, thank you, Craig. It really is exciting to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Pepperdine People podcast. I'm Craig Detweiler, and our guest today has been Joseph Sargent, distinguished filmmaker in residence at Pepperdine University.